The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy. He's gone for coffee. I don't know why he's gone for coffee when we're recording, but he could have done that 5 minutes before. Pete and break-even Stephen's still not here. Having said that last week, you know, it was just Steve and I, just the two of us. Yeah, we can make it if we try.
Yeah, I listened to it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot better, actually.
Did you? Well, a couple of people said that, actually. I don't agree. I like the banter of all of us. It was good. Steve, yeah. I've never heard him talk so much in his life.
I've never heard him talk that much.
He said more words in that podcast than he's ever said to me in his entire life. Cool, yeah. Steve. I didn't know Steve had so many, you know, words in his vocabulary.
And I particularly like when he threw me under the bus.
I was going to say that. First of all, I just want to get to that right now. But I was going to say it's 9/11, all right. And I do want to ask you later on where we were, because I've watched some amazing documentaries this week, and they're phenomenal. It really does bring it all back. But also 9/11. Do you know it's St. Ledger Day?
Yes.
It's St. Ledger Stakes will be at 3:15. Today in Doncaster. And if you look it up, you'll see pictures of ladies dressed up for the... In fact, they're trying their best. So of course, go away in May, come back St. Ledger Day, is the old saying in the stock market. So hopefully the markets will rally a bit. But I find it very hard at the moment, the markets. Very frustrating, mentally frustrating.
So boring.
Yeah, I know. And that's... I did say it's an emotion, we'll get to that. But you know what? Last week, just Steve and I, let's talk about BP, which I've coined now. It's called Blame Pete. I love that. Where Steve just... Like I said, Pete said he should throw me under the bus there. Listen to that. Talking about the fun corner.
The highest figures ever.
No, here he is.
Oh, here he is. Was Steve, are you under your pillow or something?
Because just crept in the back door.
Yeah. Literally. But you blamed Steve. You never normally blame people. You just buy a stock and knowing the ticker. Of course, you don't need to go beyond the ticker
this time.
Beyond the Ticker will be his next book. The Ticker is his first book. Beyond the Ticker is his second book. But he did blame Pete for, you know, for that poor performance.
We did have the highest figure podcast ever, though, didn't we?
Well, I don't know.
He's absolutely hammered.
Yes. Has he been to bed yet?
Steve did give the proviso, though. He did say, I may be able to. He said, can we record it Thursday evening? Because I'm going out on Friday and I may not be. I mean, get up and perform to my best abilities. But he doesn't have to. Steve, now you're not 50-50 here. You know, you can ease back a bit on the throttle a bit, you know, like you normally do.
I have a disclaimer that potentially my phone is on 1%.
What do you mean potentially it's on 1%? Well, put a charger on it.
Well, I have. I put it on the wireless dock, but clearly I got to bed drunk last night and didn't quite put it in the centre of the wireless charger station.
Oh, I didn't realise the wireless dock should be right in the centre. I've been looking at wireless docks, so maybe we'll talk about that later. But and let's talk about the UOG, because it's odd that, you know, United Oil and Gas... you know, we're talking about that. Steve said, it's been hard. It's going down and down and down. And then they came out with an RNS after that podcast. It went down another 20%. It doesn't rain, it pours.
I saw that RNS and I thought, just as it popped up, I was like, I hope this is positive. And then it will like spike up. Steve, do you blame me for that? And then, no, it went the other way.
Yeah. Well, you call that, you know, the stocks you hold that you don't have any conviction in now, as the fun corner. I call it just lack of conviction and not deadheading them. Just get rid of them.
No.
And so what is it still? How much fun is going on in that corner at the moment, Pete? What do you got in there? What do you got in there?
None of your business.
I don't see a lot of fun in stocks that are dying on the thread there.
No, so, can I just explain the concept of the fun corner?
Yeah, please do, because it's not self-explanatory, is it? You have to get complicated a bit. Go on.
This is my fun corner. I don't know why Steve suddenly adopted it. This
you can't have fun on your own, surely in a corner on your own. That's not fun.
Yeah, well, anyway. So the UOG update this week, it was a bit disappointing and it took a knock. But
water's good, though, apparently, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Fine. Water and oil, that's okay. In the context of my portfolio, you know, the knock this week took it from being 1.8% of my portfolio to, 1.4% of my portfolio. I'll have to rethink my retirement plans now. I mean, oof. Yeah. You know, it's but if it had gone the other way, you know, it's a bit of fun. Who knows? It might, in 6 months' time, it might be double what it is now. It might be half. It might be zero. Who knows?
Your friend Pete is very different to mine.
Yeah, so right. So that's my fun corner. And I don't understand why I got the blame for Steve's inability to sell or...
But let me ask you about that fun corner, right? That's okay. Those stuff. Are you interested, really, though, in them in whatever they're producing those licenses, the Abu Sanan license, whatever that is?
Yes.
Are you interested in that, in the oil production from that area? Why is that fun?
I find it fascinating.
Yeah, no, but I've got to genuinely have some interest in that. That's why I've gone from resource companies, like I said before, to companies that I'm a bit more, you know, interested as a business. Because you are a business investor. You are an investor in a business. Yeah. So you wouldn't start a business you're bored with or had no interest in, would you?
Well, I reckon I speak for several people that listen to this podcast, probably, when I say... the most people are interested in is making money, isn't it? So,
I think it has to go beyond that. Let me have a look. Turn it the other way around, right? I think you're more likely to make money if you invest or even start a business that you really like and have an interest in. And you can, you know, just the metrics, you enjoy the metrics of it, you know, the growth of it, where they are, you know, the sector they're in.
I'm not sure. I don't think I have that with any of my stocks.
Don't you?
Not really. If I'm really honest.
But I like businesses. I do like businesses, though. And I like to see businesses that are improving and growing. That's what I like. Yeah. And I got us a lot. Look at that sentence they put in that update. They said companies work interest averaging 2,730 barrels of oil per day, in line with full year guidance of 2,500 to 2,700. And this is the Ashfield, which currently has all three wells in production, has performed exceptionally, with over 3 million barrels gross produced since it came on stream, representing 60% of oil production in the Abu Sanan license since the start of 2020. That's all good, right? There we go. Since early July, the proportion of water to oil being produced has increased in all three producing wells. Oh, my God!
I saw that as a positive. I'm like,
water, brilliant!
Everyone wants water.
in the oil.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, good, water as well. Oh, they can bottle water. That's good.
Is it Evian?
Yeah.
I just thought, Breck and Carrot make an absolute fortune in Wales.
Yeah, UOG, mineral water. It's got a tinge of oil to it.
Yeah.
Or metallic taste.
Yeah, metallic taste is not very clear to look at, but it tastes nice.
Suitable for drinking. Yeah.
Some idiots have seen that as a bad thing, and I'm like, what?
I know. Come on, guys. If you look at Michael Berry, you know, the famous guy from the Big Short, you know? Well, he did really well on shorting, you know, mortgages and all that stuff, and he did very well. In fact, he was holding for a long time, had a lot of patience, a lot of funds started pulling money from him, saying, what are you doing? You're shorting the mortgage market. You know, real estate in America is massive, it's huge. It's been an eternal bull market, same as in the UK, pretty much. And yet he held on, people started pulling funds, but he had patience, you know, and all of a sudden it did, like a house of cards come down, and he earned a tump load. His next, I don't know if you saw that, at the end of the film, I think it was, or an article, his next big play was on water. He sees water as the next big... So, Steve, maybe you're right. Maybe just hang on in there. And in fact, you know, talk about patience. I listened to a podcast just now, Walking the Dog. Anthony Scaramucci. You know, does he ring a bell?
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't realise... I saw him when he was in, you know, Trump, the mooch. You know, he was the head of media relations and all that stuff. He's a very sharp guy. Just listen to a lot of podcasts. He's a fund manager, an investor. And very sharp. And he said... Listen, I know a lot of billionaires, okay? And the thing with these guys is this. They don't sell. I said, they're very patient. When they get an idea and they stick with it. And and he said, all of them, they do not sell. That's
right, exactly. My fun corner.
Yeah, there we are. But it may come round and help you out. There we are. But I said, go on.
You haven't asked Steve I'll ask him. Steve, why did I get the blame for your...
Yeah, Steve. We don't blame. It's not a blame game.
I did not blame you, Pete, at all.
You said the word, that's Pete's fault.
I think rewinding, go on, reverse out of that one, Steve.
Well, to be fair, Pete, I was quite significantly in the press with United Oil and Gas, and you were like, this is going to the moon.
No,
and
I was what?
Those are the exact words you used, and I was like, cool, I'm going to stick with this, and it's not going to the moon. Well, it's going to the Earth's crust.
Yeah, with water.
Did you not put a stop loss in, Steve?
No, did you?
Well, I sold some.
Did you?
Well, this is months ago, Why do I have to tell you when I said, yeah, when I was in profit, I was well up in
I can't that. Believe pump and dumps, Pete. That is a pump and dump, that is, isn't
it? No, it wasn't, because I still hold it.
You are pumping it and selling it to Steve. You're pumping it to Steve and selling it.
You're pumping the water my way.
Yeah, yeah, but what I liked about that is
that Steve bought more. Sorry.
What I liked about that, right, is that Pete thought it was too much fun going on there, so he sold a few because he wanted less fun in that corner and just want to dilute the fun a bit. But as a judge sitting on this, if you came to court, right, Steve, if I was Judge Rinder and you came to court with this and said, he cost me money, he said he's going to the moon, and then put a stop loss in. Why would you put a stop loss in? It's going to the moon. But anyway, this is what I'd say, Steve. Does Peter have your login details for your stock booking account, Stephen?
And guys, I gotta say, I would never blame anyone for anything I buy or sell.
Answer the question, please, Stephen.
On this occasion, Pete, you are completely to blame for my lack of selling on this.
Sorry, Steve, I didn't say that. Did you put him in charge of your account? Is that what happened?
Yes.
And when's the last time he logged in and bought more of you?
Pete logs into my account on a daily basis.
Is that true, Peter?
Yep.
Yes, and I withdraw quite a lot of funds.
Mainly for my United Oil and Gas funds. Thank you very much, Pete.
Okay, well, that's
exactly right, Justin, and that is the point.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, listen, I get blamed all the time. People are commenting on YouTube videos I've done like 3 years ago, saying, what's happened to this? I don't know. I don't hold it anymore, you fool. Yeah. I mean, I haven't talked about it for 3 years. And I still get that, and people are blaming me for that. And I think, well, hang on a second. I don't have your login details. I didn't buy it for you. You know, do some research. I'm saying, investing isn't risky, you know? You're not always going to pick up winners. And especially 5 years ago, when I literally, you know, almost a start in the small cap space, it's a different animal to big caps. You've got to do your own research. Or if not, if you don't do your own research, you can't blame someone else. Full stop. That's it. You can't have it both ways, you know?
If you ever woken up in the morning and found... Have you ever woken up in the morning and found a chair on your landing?
Steve.
I've just woken up. One of my chairs is my landing.
Steve, hang on. You weren't thinking of, hanging yourself, were you?
No.
Right, that's it.
Do you know what, actually?
I can't believe the fun corner's gone so depressing now.
It's underneath the smoke detector.
That's why Steve is obviously going off.
I'm not kidding. I just got up and walked out my...
Just blame me, Steve.
There's a chair on my landing for no reason whatsoever.
Steve, I know why that is for her. You came in and you were so steaming, the fire alarms are going off. Yeah. That's what it was. Literally, the fumes of were coming off you, and they thought it was alcoholic fumes. So
what did you do last night, Steve? Yeah. I saw you with some pretty young ladies at Cardiff Arms Park. What was the deal?
Oh, yeah. They abandoned me.
Yeah.
I got properly dumped. I see my friends. Apparently, I was not. I'm not sure what I was.
Why were you at Cardiff? Where were you, Steve?
I had VIP in Cardiff Arms Park with Cardiff Rugby.
Right. Oh, wow. What's VIP entail there? What do you get? Do you get a free Welsh cake?
Very immature person.
A chicken meal. It was like a coronation chicken, which actually went down bad with one of the guys because he had braces, like white braces, and he couldn't eat like properly, so he was like literally putting the chicken to the back of his throat so it didn't touch his braces to stain it.
That's attractive to the ladies. I'm just shoving this chicken to the back of my throat. It's like a chick feeding seagull feeding the chicks. So that was, what's the VIP involved, Steve? A chicken meal.
Like jalapenos in it.
All right, Steve.
All right.
Steve's talking a lot now, isn't he? You are still drunk.
And you didn't dance, you just stood behind the DJ.
How do you know this?
It's been on Instagram.
Stories. I haven't seen it.
When I got dumped by the ladies, I went to see my friends in the club, and I was just then backstage.
Okay. It seems like you are still a bit backstage.
Then you press the light button.
Steve, you know the chair that's on your landing? Is that actually your house?
I don't understand why there's a chair on my landing. That's really bizarre. I really can't work that out.
I think the clue is in the fire alarm, Steve. It's below that. I think the clue is there.
That wouldn't have gone off. I don't understand.
Well, why would you put a chair to it? All of a sudden, I'm coming. I've never...
I was asking you...
And maybe you're just thinking on the way home, you just thought, I've got to inspect my fire alarms, because I haven't done for a while, so I'll do it now. I'm really cut, half cut.
Saying this, though, this is the guy that went for Sunday lunch last week and annually accused my bank of fraud from the New York Cardiff Pizza Company from buying a pizza. I did not buy a pizza from them. And then I realised that I found a receipt in my pocket. I did buy a pizza on the way home.
I'm thinking you're drinking too much, Steve, if that's the case.
Yeah.
I did not go to New York to buy a pizza. Says New York Cardiff.
Got linked up to your Alexa system.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You're probably just shouting at the fire alarm.
Yeah. Anyway, should we talk about stocks? Because we did talk about Steve's fire alarms and chicken meals and stuff and how wasted Steve got. Because
I'm just looking at his Insta story and yes, he's clubbing with a load of 20-year-olds.
Where do you see that? Stories. How do you see that?
But he's not actually with the 20-year-olds. He's in the VIP booth.
He's looking down at the 20-year-olds. Yeah.
How do you see his stories?
It's a social media network called Instagram.
Yeah, but I'm on that. But I'm on Steve's page. But how do you get his stories? Oh, there we are.
Just click on his face.
They are very attractive, Steve. Who are they? Apart from you and your mate. You would let them. It's almost like you have just jumped on that table for a picture, haven't you?
That's all my... Well, actually, I know a few of them, but they are the ex-Capsule FM South Wales...
promotional ladies.
No, they actually work there. They were like sales and marketing.
Did you just say you own a few of them?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Is one of the... Right, anyway, sorry, let's get on. Check out Steve. It's smartin18 on Instagram, if you want to check him out, his stories.
Everybody follow him.
Yeah, you need to click his face and then go to the stories. Just think about that patience thing, right? I find it very hard at the moment. I was saying, if you're investing in a business and it's improving and the SP isn't doing nothing, it's very frustrating, especially if you see other people, you know, or other companies doing very well. But I say patience, you know, invariably outperforms impatience. And I've found out that for a lot of time. And by the way, on social media, no one ever boasts about their losers. You know, you never see that. People only ever, when they have a good performance from a store, they'll post it. But they won't post something that's not doing very well, you know, and that's the classic thing. And it's that thing of, you know, and that's what social media is about. That's what people say, oh, social media brings everyone together. In fact, it doesn't actually. It makes people less happy, been proven many times, because people are just boasting, aren't they, about unrealistic things that are happening in their lives. You know, then you never see the actual life. You see the 1% of where they're having a good time, pretty much, like Steve. He didn't do that all the time, does he? Most of the time, he's in his boxer shorts, you know. Mm. Playing on his computers and stuff. That's all he does. But
standing on chairs and stuff.
I said, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm finding my stocks at the moment very boring. Very boring. And there's nothing very worse than boring. That. Nothing worse than that. Boredom, but remember this, boredom is an emotion, right? And investing based on emotions is not rational, you know, it's not rational, leads to mistakes, and doing nothing is the hardest. And like I said, that guy, Anthony Scaramucci, talking about billionaires, They obviously got a lot of investments, but they sit there and they don't do anything. They just let, you know, do well over years. And I'm looking at, you know, I've got quite a high level of confidence in the five stocks I own, the high five, and I believe they'll be at multiples of where they are today. So why would I ever get rid of them? You know, why would I change unless I find something that's phenomenal? I'm expecting, multi-bags, you know, five times, maybe even 10 times or more on some of them. So how much return are you looking for? Why trade out? There's no point, is there? So it's just hard work, and just doing nothing is really hard work. And this year, apart from the first quarter, in fact, probably a quarter and a bit, it's been really hard, isn't it? Really hard. And it's annoying. I can see the concept of a fun corner, but when the share prices are going down in that fun corner, it's not really fun, is it? So you need something else.
Well, but like I say, in terms of the overall context of the portfolio, it's so small, it doesn't really matter. And it's just there for a bit of like fun. If it just had a great result and pops up, spikes up, then that's great. I don't know. It's just sat there. It's just a different. It's just, I suppose, having more than just the five stocks. It's about having some other things going on, because otherwise.
Why not pick good businesses that are improving though, in uptrends? You know that.
But all I would say about when you're saying about having a passion for the business and really, you know, getting into the business and really kind of really understanding that business and getting deeply involved in it. Isn't there a danger then you get so involved you're kind of, it's a bit like Love is Blind, so you're a bit blinded by it, and then you won't sell because you're so attached to it. Whereas I'm not attached to any of this. I'm just, as the fun corner, definitely not attached to it. I'm just a bit of fun, see what happens. The other five, I'm not as deeply in love with it, with them as you are, and so I will find it easier to sell, probably.
Yeah, look, no, make no bones about it. If a story changes, I keep an eye on the metrics all the time, you know, and the growth metrics all the time. And if that changes and story changes in some way, I have no loyalty to that business. It's not like that's why it's good to invest. You know, what the heck are you doing,
what
Steve?
What the hell is that? That must be Croydon. Sorry.
What was that?
That's my phone going crazy. It's calling 112. What the fuck?
I can't swear in the podcast, Pad.
Stop doing that. Don't do that. Why is it doing that?
No, I'm such the same. Do you stop doing that, Pad? Stop swearing.
Yeah, don't swear on the podcast, Pad.
No, but so I'm looking at the stats on the companies I own, and they're all performing as expected, you know, and even better than. So it's not like in love. Falling in love with the company, I believe, and being blind, is when you are deluded to the point, you know, you have confirmation bias on everything. You believe anything that happens, oh, that's going to be good, you know, and when it's actually not, you know. Because I've seen people hold companies blindly for years, and it's come up with obviously bad news. And people say, we'll spin it in a way to say, but look, if you notice, and I thought, what are you talking about? You can't spin that into good news. That is bad news.
It's like
Steve saying, they got water. Yay! I didn't know they were in water. Yeah, you know, you can't spin that into good news. You know?
Yeah, okay.
So, well, at what point, with Polarian, for example, one of the reasons we've been looking at that and getting excited about the tail end of this year was this potential rise up until the announcement from the FTA. And we should be slap bang in the middle of that rise now, shouldn't we? We're like 3 weeks away from that announcement. Shouldn't that stock be doing something?
Yeah, well, do you know what you said on WhatsApp here? Look at this. When does the pre-October Polarian rise start? I said, ask Steve to call the National Stock Exchange. And Pete said, 10:35 next Tuesday. And Steve said, no, not going to happen. In fact, it will go down when it gets approved by the FDA. That's a very interesting concept, right? Because I did not invest in Polarian because I expect a rise in the pre-FDA. I expect the rise, but that's not the reason why I invested in it. I invested in it because I think it's going to be a massive business. And I think the business is amazing.
Of course, but
there will be some people who will sell that on the FDA approval, but then it will go down. It will go down, I guarantee you.
Guarantee us. Right. Steve is guaranteeing us. Wow.
Steve might guarantee everyone. I think, unfortunately, he's right.
And if it goes up, who are you going to blame?
Yeah. BP. Listen, this is my thoughts. I think it will go up. I think it will go up a little bit. That's not the reason. But the dynamics of it not going up, it's odd how it changes, reframes that in people's heads, you know? Because make no bones about it. If they get FDA approval, and there's a good chance they will, the more I look into this, the more I'm convinced it'll happen, that's going to be a cracking business. The growth metrics on this company is phenomenal. Like I said, I don't know if you saw that, 1,400%, pretty much 170% compound annual growth over the next 8 years, and that's only based on 2% of America, when we know this is globally significant, globally relevant technology. You know, you can't have MRI scanners and CTs are now out of date unless you add on Polarian's tech. So I'm invested in this business thinking it's going to be massive over the next 5-10 years, not because it'll have a little blip on news. I mean, that's not why you should invest in the business. Yeah, it would be nice. Yeah, but it would be nice. But do you know what?
Just be nice for once, just to have a blip upwards on good news. Like, just come on for once.
But listen, Paddy, you are right invested. It's still early stage. This is what I see happening. I think there'll be, first of all, they're going to, they got lots of research, you know. I think 15 are already in major academic. They've got 23 out there, but 15 of those are installed in leading US institutions, and these are the kind of people that are in the field of excellence, you know, and they lead the fields. Whatever they're doing, they're publishing papers on which the rest of the industry are reading and reviewing positively. That's, you know, so that it. It'll leverage off that. Once it becomes commercial, every hospital will want one of these things. Otherwise, they can't analyse people with, you know, pulmonary problems. They can't do it. So I just think it's going to be a huge thing. But I know it'd be nice, but what's the problem here? And if you look at it, if you look at the risks of this not happening, first of all, the phase 3 trial was designed in collaboration with the FDA, as was the FDA application. Xenon gas, fine. It's literally, it's not a problem. You know, Xenon-129E, it's not a problem. The FDA are happy with the safety profile. And thirdly, like I said, it's being used. This tech is being used by leading, you know, academic institutions, Oxford University in America, the biggest cancer research unit in America. So it's and you will not find a company with bigger growth potential than this. So
I was looking back at Plarium because we bought it a couple of years ago. Now we started buying. I was looking back; it's like 20p, and I do remember it had a good rise. It got into the 30s, and then there was some. It took a knock. I can't remember quite. There was an update that wasn't that positive, and I remember buying some more when it dipped down, and then it just went on a right old run for no particular reason. Yeah. And it's quite interesting when you think about it.
That's what people said. There's no news now for a year. And I remember that people saying that before that happened. And all of a sudden it went on a run. And it's all about supply and demand of shares. Once there's lack of supply and people are buying, you know, there's a lot of volume at the moment. But I think there's someone, you know, chipping away or selling. Do you know what my thoughts are? This is a conspiracy theory. If you're an institution, right, and you don't want the risk of FDA failure, you know, because institutional investors and funds, they look at their performance on a quarterly basis. They have to be quite competitive. They don't want to take losses. So they're happy to buy a bit more at a decent price. They don't want to go cheap and then have high risks. They prefer to pay, you know, a fair price for a wonderful company rather than a wonderful price for a fair company. So, you know, they're happy for it to rise post-FDA and then buy because they know that the risks then are very small. But I'm thinking, it's in their interest somehow to not let the share price go up, isn't it? Before FDA, these big, bigger institutions, you know, it's because if they want to top up, they want to top up post FDA approval. But if it's doubled before then, that's annoying. Is there a way that any institution could be manipulating this buying and selling by enough to just keep the share price down all the time? Because there is the sells come in, there's a lot of buyers come in, then you get odd sells come in. And think, what's going on there? Because it does seem to want to make a move, and then it doesn't. It pulls back a bit. I'm thinking, what is going on? But do you know what? I was looking at you're right. That last rise happened out of nowhere. There was no news.
Yeah.
And people said, there's no news now for like another year. What's the point of buying Plarium now? And I said, you can never predict share prices at all. Yeah. All you can try and predict is the business.
And the logical thing, which is terrible, you never use logic when it comes to the markets, really, sometimes. But now would be the time, like Paddy's saying, with an FDA approval coming out, and you think, and it feels like the story's getting better. You would expect a rise, but no, we had a rise like a year ago based on nothing. Who knows? But
this could. Within a week, it can do a big percentage rise. Within a couple of days, it can do that. You know,
I'd be happy with a 5% rise right now, to be honest. Just a little nudge, just to suggest that.
Why is your short termism?
You're not going to sell on the 5% rise, are you?
No, but I just want I want my portfolio to move
to look better,
just to do something.
That's mental, isn't it? That's more mental.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But like you were saying at the start,
I agree with Pat. It would just be nice to see a portfolio move from where it is currently right now, which has been for the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, but do you know what? It will happen though. I mean, this is why some people just sell out and then miss the rises because the frustration of lack of patience. You know, nothing happening. Like I said, that's why I said that little quote earlier. If you are improving businesses, you know. It's hard to sit there when nothing's going on. You see other companies, you know, rising. But patience invariably outperforms impatience all the time, pretty much. That's invariably means that. But looking at the broker note and their half-year report, and they say there, as in the normal course of post-submission, the company has responded to the question and answer process with the FDA for submission while preparing itself and verifying the preparation of its suppliers and providers. And in the note there, they say they're interacting with the FDA all the time. So it's not like, you know, taking an exam and just submitting it. And then, you know, 6 months or a year later, you get the results. It's continually collaboration. They're answering questions, any more data needed. So it's back and forth. And he says, we continue to prepare for the potential launch of our drug device. In particular, we're building a sales and marketing organization with recent recruitment of several sales positions.
Well, that sounds positive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't do that if you're expecting a failure.
They will target top 100 academic institutions in the US that operate centres of excellence within the field of pulmonary and are regarded as key opinion leaders influencing the adaptation. So, they said, following this formal commercial launch, by the end of 2021, We estimate Player will generate $45 million in revenues by 2025. That's nothing, pretty much, right? And it keeps getting better than that. And it grows faster than that as well. And that's just on 2% of the US. Yeah, so this is good. It said, initial uptake should leverage the 15 polarizers already installed at leading US institutions, being used all the time, you know, creating peer-reviewed papers. We also take comfort from the close involvement with strategic investor Bracco. They have a 5.8% stake and a board seat, who is a global leader in the commercialization of medical imaging products and equipment. I think there's going to be, my part, it'd be sensible for MRI scanners, the big companies, GE, which it was spun out of, Philips, all the major, you know, scanner suppliers, just do a deal with them and say, in future, we'll just incorporate this tech in our scanners. Because otherwise, they're like, you know, you've got a car there, it's not performing properly. You know, it's you've got a... something wrong with the well, it's just you know, if you can get a car one add-on, it can go, you know, 50 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour faster. Just, you know, you would do that, wouldn't you? It's you can't diagnose problems in lungs.
There's part of me, contrary to like what Paddy and Steve would like to see, if it did drop, I'd quite like that, because I think for me that's a time to actually invest, because that de-risks it even more, this FDA approval. And like, I agree with you, yeah, there's so much potential there. In a way, it'd be nice if it dropped to 70p, 60p, whatever. You go, great. Yeah, I'll actually feel far more confident now, and even just upping my holding, because the long term.
Do you know what? And that's it. I keep saying this. It's the ability, right, to detach the share price movement from the business. And that's if you're able to do that, you become a very good investor. Because what will happen if the share price starts going down now? People say, uh oh. They're not going to get FDA approval. There's some inside news going here. There's not. Generally, there's not, honestly. There'll be something selling for some reason earlier, you know, holders hold a lot of stock. Maybe they see, you know, if there's any risk going on, it's going to happen in the FDA thing. So maybe they're just giving a few off. You don't know what's going on. So, but if you see this as a price drop as an opportunity because the business is potentially phenomenal business, I think I'm going to buy some more here. Why not? Let's be honest. No one knows what's happening. You know, this is a very highly confidential decision, expected on the 5th of October. No one knows yet, you know. Richard, the CEO, doesn't know. Savi doesn't know. I mean, who does know? There's a couple of FDA people know, maybe. Hey, Carlin, so, I've got a cracking... I don't believe that happens at the FDA, do you? The FDA, yeah.
There'll be an internal Dropbox system, and there'll be, like, approved and unapproved. You'll be sat there.
Yeah. Mm, and there's one guy, giving all his mate tips on listed companies. Chuck, they've just dropped the Polarian stuff into the approved box. So if I were you, I'd scoop up a few shares. Thanks, Jeff. Will do. Yeah. And also buy some for me, too, of course. That doesn't go on, does it?
Well, come on. I bet
it does.
I bet it does. And that would be a reason to see a rise because, you know...
Chuck's suddenly buying tens of millions of shares.
Chuck's got new mates, down the pub.
Chuck has backed up his truck and he's loading up.
I think that definitely would go on, and you might see a rise because of things like that going on.
If that happened though, Chuck would go to jail, and Jeff and Chuck would go to jail.
It'll be Chuck's mate from Delaware.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden there's some guy literally just loading up on a med tech company he's never ever heard of in the middle of the Middle East.
He has a lot of luck with in the Midwest. In that sector.
Yeah, Chuck called that. He's never done any research. He just said he liked that company. He just said he remortgaged his house and he just chucked loads in. Yeah. I'd never heard him mention it before. all of a sudden he's gone gangbusters. Yeah. I don't believe there's that kind of they can't, because when you think about it, your livelihood is
They wouldn't do it blatantly, but that word would get around.
But if you cuss inside in, if you're caught doing that,
I know.
You messed up your entire life.
But it's about being able to trace it back to the person, isn't it? So
how on earth would they do that? If someone's friend of a friend suddenly starts buying buying shares in a company that just happens to have FDA approval the next week, I mean, with Polarian, they're going to be in for a shock. It's going to go down. But
how does Chuck know about that company? I don't know. But do you know his best friend Jeff works at the FDA? Really? He does. Yeah, he's very close with Jeff. He's on the phone to him all the time. Really? Very interesting. Yeah.
It's and got a thriving pharmaceutical portfolio.
Yeah. I know.
But seriously, and I'm not talking about one person remortgaging a house and putting it's bits. That stuff can definitely go on, like through Chinese whispers, and it'll just be like, yeah, and you could see a rise. That's all
I'm
saying.
To be fair, we used to buy and sell a lot on rumour, and we lost a lot of money, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but that's different from what I'm talking about, potentially.
But remember when buys on rumours, isn't it?
Yeah. Rumours, you go to jail for insider trading if you're losing? I don't know whether that works.
Yeah, yeah, it's still decided knowledge, yes.
But I lost loads of money, Your Honour.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But that's just the case. Your source was rubbish. Yeah, but that's the drama. That's why bulletin boards and all that question. But that's where the rumours start. You know, bulletin boards and all these people just, you know, what it stems from is someone being very overexposed. You know, so they start having to make up stuff on bulletin boards, try and raise the share price. Otherwise, they're in trouble. The share price goes down, and so that's why you can tell people they're overexposed on Twitter. They're just constantly talking about one share, ramping it, you know, every day, one stock for like, and all of a sudden, calm down, just diversify a bit.
Well, they set up a podcast and just talk about one escape room company constantly. What's happening with them?
I haven't mentioned escape room for ages, though.
No, you haven't.
I've not bought or sold any. I've not. In fact, do you know what? The 15th of this month, I think, is either 2 or 3 months. 3 months, probably. I haven't even touched my my ISA account. So I think it's quite. And I haven't done that I don't have ever done that before. Not making any trades for that. I mean, the only thing I've done is mess around with crypto on Coinbase. But
it's some big news from Croydon, guys. Westfield aren't moving in, so it's not that shopping centre is now entirely empty. So it's ready for potentially the biggest escape room complex in Europe if they're interested.
Did you see that? Then there's lots of 50 shops a day apparently emptying, but they're saying that these retail outlets where it was predominantly retail are now going to become entertainment centres and leisure centres, centres in the old term leisure centre, but I mean where you got more restaurant, yeah, destination places where you got everything from go-karting to crazy golf to escape rooms to restaurants to cinemas, all that stuff, you know, will be in one area. And then you get any of the most, they'll sell most of the to become flats and all that stuff above it. And so you'll have people living there. Obviously, people who acquire those flats be younger, so they'll be into that kind of fun. Because if you get older, you're not into fun at all, you know, apart from having a fun corner of resort stocks. as far as an escape room, I don't know if you saw that. New sites are opening. The Milton Keynes site is opening. Lakeside is opening. A results out should be the end of this month. We know the results anyway because they did a trading update. But nevertheless, the growth was very good on those sites, even when they reopened. But I'll be looking at, in that statement, of course, they'll be hopefully doing a post-period and an outlook statement and seeing how busy it's been, because that's where you want to look. When they've been, operating on a fair level playing field, you can do like-for-like comparisons now for the last, say, month or so, at least a month and a bit. When did they open up? When did we open up the economy properly? Was that August?
Middle of July. Well, July 19th, wasn't it?
Was it? There's still restrictions.
It's crazy how it feels mental, doesn't it? It's basically just back to normal now, isn't it? I was in London this week, and it was just like normal London. It was packed. The tubes were really busy. The bars were open. Yeah. Like, it didn't feel like anything. Like, we've literally gone from being terrified of our neighbours to just going back to normal in a space of like 6 weeks, which is great.
It's amazing how fast human behaviour can revert to norm or revert to mean, where it was. I remember when we first heard about this virus, didn't know much about it. We didn't know who was killing. We didn't know it was basically a virus that attacks people with weak immune systems more. I was thinking, there's a deadly virus out there. It could literally kill you unless you can't see it. And almost being terrified of it. And then all of a sudden, you realise, oh, it's not that bad, actually. It's I've had it. And
You had it after a vaccine.
Yeah, but you know what? I reckon the vaccine probably made me feel worse than the actual thing. I feel dreadful during the vaccine. That's what it is. They're just injecting you with it, aren't they? So
No, we're not quite. No, but yeah, no,
that's not true.
Yeah, it is.
No, well, you are kind of getting infected by the disease with the vaccine. No, that's kind of the idea.
A little bit of it. You are a little bit.
No, that's how
it works. That's how it works. It's from monkey poo. It's mixed with just COVID. They mix it in a big vat of monkey poo and COVID. That's and it. They inject it into your body. No, no, I feel like crap.
That's not how it works. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, flu, no, let's be honest. If you have flu, people say, oh, I've got the flu. They haven't got the flu. Flu, it, literally, you're bedridden, you get the flu. It really takes you down. You can't, you're aching every muscle in your body. It's like that. And obviously, when you're old, that'll kill you because your immune system can't cope with it. But, yeah, but no, what I'm saying is, it's amazing how we've gone from literally, if you breathe a molecule of it in, it can kill you straight away. To like, okay, you're going to feel very, very ill, but, you know, it's not going to kill you, probably, if you're healthy and, you know, immune system's fine. Anyway, so a new site's opening there, Milton Keynes Lakeside, results end this month. Also next week, Biome, interim results on the 15th. When's that? Wednesday, Thursday? We know the trading update, they've done, for 6 months, they've done 2.3 million, represent an increase of 7.3%. That's obviously less than they expected because of the supply chain issues across the US. Well, globally, supply chain issues are a problem. But they also had that, one of the customers in America had just a logistics problem, which they've sorted out now. And also the RF division seeing more inquiries. So it'd be nice to get some more depth on that and see where they are. But they still believe, like I said, the board's view of the group performance remains in line with revised market expectations following the trading statement. Demand for the group's products and materials continues to rise on a reputation strong, whilst the group's rate of growth will be constrained by factors described above. That was because that supply chain. The board expects a return to high rates of growth indicated in its key performance indicators in due course. And we're talking like almost 40% plus, you know, revenue growth there. So I like that. It'd be nice to get the stuff from them. Gfinity, did you see that news from Gfinity this week? I quite like what they're doing there. They acquired something called Siege. It's a very clever geek site. Essentially,
very small. In terms of that.
Yeah.
Well.
Of course. But the thing is, it was set up by these esports, you know, fanatics, they're based around Rainbow Six, first person shooter game, which I didn't realise is in the sort of top 12 most popular games of being streamed, and it's like 60,000 people an hour playing this game, and that's not even the most and the most popular game is 10 times that. So you realise there's over 500,000 people an hour playing the most popular game. But this is like 60,000 people an hour. And it's just a site around that, an esports around that. And they got proper, you know, stats about since people started, competing on this game, they got all the stats ever. And it's really displayed in a nice way, like you would do like football or whatever, Premier League stats and all that. They've got all that. And that's very valuable for esports betting, which betting is the fastest growing area of esports, and it's like phenomenal. They're going to take a look at deals. So what they're going to do is going to spin out, use that technology. They brought the guy on, the three employees there. They brought them on as full time. They bought that, and they're going to expand that across all different games. So they opened up that, and I think that's amazing. If you look what they've done, right? And I like what John says. We're focused on building one of the world's fastest growing digital publishing companies. I like that ambition because he's quite conservative, John. Since May 2020, they started GDM back then. It still had some websites, of course, but they've gone from 1 million monthly active users to over 10 million now. Yeah, annualized revenue was 4 pence back then. It's now 15 pence. And that's just basically resulted in, SEO, ad delivery, reaching the scale. And that has started.
I was just going to say one thing. I was going to say about the gaming community is just how engaged they are. It's just incredible. Like more and more, I'm hearing of people who are into gaming. Like in our generation, like gaming was what, like the Sega Mega Drive or whatever. And it was like you'd play a bit and get a bit bored because it was all right, but it was you'd move on. And I've never got into this later generations of gaming. And the people I know, younger than me, who are into it, like one or two people, they're like, I think they'd happily sit there for 12 hours a day playing it.
Have you seen Siege, for example, their social media, their Twitter account, it's got about 90,000 followers, right? And they will post just the latest results of some fixtures around that game. It's got 300-400 likes, and it's just basically the Premier League stats on the leaders, the top esports teams. Yeah. they get 300-400 likes on that. And you think, what? It's like, and it's just a, you know, it's a screenshot of a couple of numbers and rankings. That's all it is. And you're thinking, that's nuts. So the engagement. But if you look at what they've done, for example, when they bought Epic Stream, which is like a geeky site on all things gaming, and all that, they bought that at the time when they bought it. Had 600 million monthly active users in December. That was 2020. Following the acquisition now in July, 3 million active users. So they've timed it by five. So you can see why they're confident by doing this. And they did that basically by integrating the site, you know, using this, moving it onto a different kind of infrastructure, using proprietary tech, content, SEO, all that stuff. And they've times that monthly active users by five in less than a year. And so they're targeting now, they've got like over 10 million active users on the GDM. They're targeting 50 million and they want to get up to 30 pence per revenue per user, which is about 15 million in revenue. And longer term, that's midterm, they're within 12, 18 months, they'll do that. So about 15 million just off GDM. And mid to long term, they want to get 100 million with a value of 40 pence, implying the revenues of 40 million alone. When you put it on a revenue of multiple sales, multiple five, which is peers, then that's 200 million market cap, you know, for Gfinity on the digital media alone, you know? So,
And just like other businesses, other things, you can always boast about, you know, figures on like active users and whatever, but what I'm seeing in the gaming world is that they're active, and engagement. They really are active and they're engaged.
That's what John said on the interview. He said what we're looking at, he said, are sites that have high levels of engagement but they've not optimized, you know, advertising, SEO in any way whatsoever, and we can bring it into the company. And I said, I mentioned in my videos, they acquire, they optimize, they synergize, and they grow it. And and that's what they do. He said we are looking for very highly engaged, you know, websites and communities that basically they haven't, you know, optimized it very well because they've been overrun. They're too busy. That these guys, you know, who got Siege, they're basically working 24 hours a day, but they love it. And that's it. They're very geeks. They love that. But what they've created is a phenomenal community. And so now they can add that. And the same with Stock Informer, was based around all gaming stuff and, you know, stock and all that. They had no advertising on that, no SEO. So they straight away, very quickly, they can bring it up to speed and you know, bring it in and advertise on it and send advertisers there and all that. They can do that. And I quite like that. So it is like that sort of... In fact, I've gone from Flywheel. I've mentioned Flywheel a couple of times because that's borrowed from Jim Collins, who talks about from great to good, how companies go from good to great, how companies stay good and how some companies become great, you know, and it's about doing certain things, adding to the flywheel. But I'm going with a snowball analogy. I think that's, if you're on a hill, right, and you start with a little snowball, you have to push it. Even if you're on a hill, you know, you have to push it to get it bigger and bigger. And after a while, it gets to a certain size, it starts to roll on its own, but also starts to pick up snow on its own. You know, that's what Gfinity is doing. You know, sooner or later, like it said there, they are, this delivery and the growth now is a result of reaching a scale that has started to result in brands directly buying exposure to Gfinity's audience. And if you look at even Epic Streams, there's Amazon Prime Video Wrap on the actual site, you know? So they've got advertising as well, but the site itself is wrapped by Amazon Prime Video. And so you're realizing now they are getting to that size where it becomes easier and easier because you've got a bigger audience that's focused in a certain area. And that's the way they'll do it. And I say, they're clever about acquiring more sites. And in fact, the acquiring, like snowball, becomes easier the bigger you get because you've got more cash, but you can do more with these sites more quickly, you know, hire staff and stuff, you know? So, I quite like it. It's not going to happen overnight. And John keeps saying that to me. He said, it's not going to happen overnight. But sooner or later, like Future PLC, you see the chart price of that from 2016, but they changed their direction and headed to these targeted communities. It started going, creeping up slowly, and all of a sudden, it went parabolic. And it did 10 bags since 2016, you know? So that'll happen with Gfinity. Sooner or later, I mean, at the moment, I'm looking at my figures here on Gfinity.
How much was this latest acquisition?
It cost about five times revenue share, so it's 2. What is it? Give me a thing. I'll get the thing.
They just fund that from. How did they fund that?
Yeah, just fund that from cash, but it's mainly shares. So the cost of it was 9 million shares, which is 405,000 plus some cash. It amounts basically to 485k. Which is five times revenue based on 2020 revenue. But already they said the growth, they're still growing anyway, and they're doing better than last year. So
it's pays for itself, doesn't it? Just pays for itself.
Yes, and integrate as well. As I'm saying, on its own, it's a lot less valuable than it is now that you integrate it with, you know, other sites, because they've got six sites now, I think. Six sites. And already the brokers give a target of 8.6 pence, and that was before Stock Informer and Seas acquisitions. So, we expect that to go up now. And 43% compound annual growth over the next 3 to 4 years. So it's growth. You know, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sites now they've got. So again, they build that, it will start to get. And they may have to grow into that. At the moment, they're now valued at 46 million. If you look at on EV sales, that's enterprise valued sales, on 2021, they're times 8 sales. Next year, if they stay where they are, share price, it'll be 4.7. So that's below peer group. If they stay where they are in 2023, they're revalued 3 times sales. Again, it gets they get cheaper, but of course, the share price will rise as well. But it's growing, and I like a lot. Okay.
Nice.
Oh, in fact, let me just mention something. Recommendations of TVs. Have you seen any of these about 9/11? They're excellent. Yeah. There's one on BBC, which is quite good, but it's a short one-off, Surviving 9/11. Just brings it back to you, just where you were. And I was in Red Dragon. Any of you in Red Dragon, Pete? Were you there?
Yeah. I had a day off.
Did
I
you?
I was in London.
I was in Bristol.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
I was interviewing Alan Kirbishley, the Charlton manager.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
I just remember I was in the Gold studio, and people started looking at the TV screens. You know, in the newsroom, there's an open plan office, but there's a news section of desks, and they're all in the way. And people are staring at them. What are they looking at the TV for? That was nuts. But I mean, if you look at the one on Netflix, it's a multi-episode thing, and it goes more in depth, and it's the political side. And it's nuts how it all started, because the Americans backed the Taliban against the Russians back in the day, you know? And that's why they got all their weapons and stuff. And then Al-Qaeda came in, and Bin Laden, and then there was a big attack on Saudi, wasn't it? And then the US and the UK rushed to Saudi's aid, and Bin Laden said, they just want to steal our oil. And he flipped against the Americans and all that. But it's nuts, isn't it? If you look at these documentaries again, it does resurface the suspicion, you know, the link, I mean, and the worry and all that stuff. And I don't know if you saw the MI5 guy said, we've thwarted 31 terrorist attacks, close terrorist attacks on the UK in the last 3 or 4 years. But it's odd. You know, the CIA and the FBI, they knew about the plane attacks. The CIA did. They knew it was going to happen. And they had a report on it and everything. They knew exactly what was going on. But at the time, there's a communique saying the FBI and the CIA need to communicate more, because the FBI is internal, of course, and the CIA is more international. And they didn't communicate. And that was a result they could have actually thwarted, because the World Trade Center was attacked before. It's a bomb in the car park there. It was attacked before. And ironically, going back now, the Taliban, the idea of it, you know, going into Afghanistan was to dethrone the Taliban. And now, on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, the Taliban are back in charge of Afghanistan. So it hasn't really worked, has it? It's nuts.
No, it's a very depressing situation. But yeah, I did watch the BBC documentary, and it does bring it all back, doesn't it? It's just, and even 20 years on, it's still incredibly shocking, isn't it? It's like, wow, did that actually happen? Some of the eyewitness accounts from inside the building, that's pretty incredible.
I was amazed how some people were so close to the actual plane and yet out. And also just the firemen that just run in there, 314 firemen died. They run in knowing that we're... This one guy, if you look at that documentary, I think it was Netflix, I confuse the two now, but he literally, the building collapsed. And he was luckily on the part of the structure at the bottom where it's a bowed around him. And he said, one guy either side of me died, and the rest of them died. And he said, a couple of the security guards said that this white, when it went down, that all that dust, you know, everything went black and quiet. And then it went white. And the two of them both said, I thought I was dead. And the sun started coming through. And so all it was white and sun. And this guy said, well, this is heaven. I can put up with this. This is fine, because it's so quiet. And then all of a sudden it blew away. And they both of them said, you couldn't breathe. He's like, I had a sock in my mouth because of all the dust in my mouth. I couldn't breathe. And I realized it wasn't. One of the buildings were coming down. We didn't have any clue what was happening at the time. But yeah, it's worth watching, because it's so scary to be in that. And it's still affecting them mentally. It's amazing. But the Netflix one is it's more in depth, but it's worth it. It goes into the politics of it all, but it's very interesting. Very interesting talk. But there we are. Yes. But
cool.
As I mentioned, it's also St. Ledger Day. So.
Okay. Yeah. So the markets will rally next week. Brilliant.
Hang on. Yeah. Hang on. Do you know what? Wouldn't it be good if horses, right?
Right.
And there's horses running.
There's a horse called Polarian.
Did it say them? Yeah.
There must be rules against that.
The Polarian Gfinity Truefin Escape Hunt. Yeah, the Escape Hunt Stakes.
No. Oh, no, there's not. This is there's Fernando Vici, High Definition. Frankie Torres on that. Oisin Murphy's on. Hurricane Lane is an interpretation. There's Mojo Star, Ottoman Emperor, Scope, St. Lucan. Is that what he is? The Mediterranean and Youth Spirit.
What were you hoping there was going to be?
It'd be odd if there was some kind of, just alignment with one of the companies we're in. Really.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. An escape hunt at the bottom there. Yeah. Escape hunt.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.